It's called Doing Sums for the Teacher. And I'm going to read that story to you. See, it's a short story. But it's very instructive, particularly given these three stages of unsurrender that I experience today, and maybe some of you also experience from time to time. I mean, maybe I'm the only one, but I hope not, that goes through such experiences.
Every day at all time.
Every day at all time. Yeah, well, therefore, let's hear what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has to say in this short story, and then he gives a purport. Once a landlord appointed a tutor for his son at a monthly salary of 15 rupees plus another 15 rupees for the tutor's maintenance. The landlord's son was very weak in math, so the tutor began giving him many sums to do by himself. The pupil tried to insist that the tutor perform the calculations for him. But the tutor told him, "If I do it for you, then you will never learn math. I will demonstrate to you the basic method to solve the equations, and I can assist you when you get confused, but you will have to perform all the calculations by your own practice." The boy was very inattentive and lazy. He had little interest to learn math, but due to pressure from his parents, he had to practice under the tutor. One day, he was loudly speaking to his friends so that his tutor could easily overhear him. "My father has engaged a worthless tutor for me on a monthly salary of 15 rupees plus an additional 15 rupees for his food and clothing. In all, 30 rupees a month. But still, I am forced to perform so many equations for him every day. I cannot tolerate this anymore. So much strain on me. We are spending so much money, and I still have to take the trouble of performing all the math calculations for him. Why should we pay him any salary when in fact I myself am doing all the work?" So here's the purport. Many of us maintain a similar attitude to the lazy boy in this story. We renounce our family life and we sacrifice many things in the service of Guru. Some of us collect donations and perform various varieties of direct and indirect service for the satisfaction of our spiritual master. But inwardly we are thinking, what do we gain? We forget that performing such math calculations and service are for our own benefit, and by such activities we become purified, not the Guru. The Guru knows mathematics very well. It is only for our well-being that he has ordered us to perform calculations. The spiritual master is engaging us in different services for our ultimate satisfaction and welfare on the path of devotion. Those who are averse to their own benefit consider such services to be meant for the welfare of the spiritual master, for the temple, for the Vaishnavas, or for the Lord, and thus foolishly take little interest in them. And so, yes, I'll admit that when Yugala Kishore called me up, I had little interest in my own self-purification. Because that's what Srila Prabhupada has told us that preaching Krishna consciousness is for. Yes, others may benefit when they hear the message of Krishna, but let us not forget that it is for our own purification that we are given service by the mercy of Guru. Yet when we get it, we take it so cheaply that we try to find excuses, or we try to maintain our own selfish interests. That shouldn't be the type of mentality by which we approach opportunities given to us to engage in devotional service. Whether it's giving a talk, whether it's preaching to someone the message of Lord Chaitanya, whether it's collecting some donation, doing some deity service, whether it's cleaning the temple, whether it's washing the pots. There's a rule, actually, at one of our temples in India, in Chaupati. They have many, many brahmacharis there. Now, you may know that the position of brahmachari, that's on the lowest rung of the totem pole. If you're a brahmachari, practically anybody can tell you what to do and when to do it. You're a surrendered servant. And actually, in this temple at the Chaupati Mandir in Mumbai, you cannot live in the brahmachari ashram if you ever utter the word no when asked to do some service. You can't live there. You're disqualified. No, you can't be there. Yet, that place has so many brahmacharis. So many. Hundreds are living there. Because they've gotten rid of this mentality that plagues us, that plagues me. And as Premananda Gaurprabhu said, every day, every minute, it's there. So that's what we have to conquer. We have to conquer that. We have to be prepared to go beyond such an approach to life, to service to our Guru, so we can make genuine advancement in Krishna consciousness. Indeed, this is a prime lesson of Bhagavad Gita itself. To be prepared to do what the Guru, what Krishna wants of us at any moment, at any time, even if it seems to be something that is frightening, is difficult, even if it's enjoyable, it seems enjoyable. We have to do it for the right purpose. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, after instructing Arjuna in so many ways, Krishna essentially asks Arjuna whether he has prepared himself to execute his order. And I want to read to you the verse and purport, parts of the purport, this very key portion of Bhagavad Gita. Because, you know, at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, basically Arjuna said, I'm not prepared to do what you're asking. You're asking me to go and fight with my relatives. And don't you know, Krishna, that when fighting with your relatives, when there's a war like this, it's sinful. Fighting with your family members, if the men are killed, then society will be ruined in so many ways. There will be unwanted population. So many difficulties will arise. No, what you're saying, not only is it difficult, but it's wrong. Therefore, I won't do. I'm not prepared to do what you ask. So 18 chapters later, Krishna then asks Arjuna this question. O son of Prita, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? Are your ignorance and illusion now dispelled? And Krishna says something here that's very encouraging to all of us, and Srila Prabhupada points this out in the purport. He says that the Lord was acting as a spiritual master of Arjuna. Therefore, it was his duty to inquire from Arjuna whether he understood the whole Bhagavad Gita in its proper perspective. If not, the Lord was ready to re-explain any point, or the whole Bhagavad Gita, if so required. So maybe we need, you know, three strikes, maybe we need four strikes at trying to hit the ball. But Krishna, he's ready to be there with us and provide that instruction. You didn't understand? You're not prepared yet? Okay, let's go over it again. And let's go over it again. And let's go over it again. So many ways Krishna helps us. He's there to instruct us very patiently, very compassionately, till we get it, and until we can say what Arjuna says next in this 18th chapter. Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt. and prepared to act according to your instructions. So he was changed. He was a changed person in all ways, so that he became prepared. And actually, that is what this human form of life is all about. Becoming prepared to execute the order of Krishna. That's all. Human life is not such a complicated thing. Well, we can make it very complex and by the confusion of our minds, the world can seem insurmountable in so many ways. But actually, the purpose of life is very simple. To become prepared to do what Krishna wants. And Srila Prabhupada explains that here in the purport. Krishna consciousness is acting according to Krishna's order. A conditioned soul, illusioned by the external energy of matter, does not know that the Supreme Lord is a master who is full of all knowledge and who is the proprietor of everything. Whatever he desires, he can bestow upon his devotees. He is the friend of everyone, and he is especially inclined to his devotee. He is the controller of this material nature and of all living entities. He is also the controller of inexhaustible time, and he is full of all opulences and all potencies. This is the Supreme Lord, and our relationship with him is to do what he asks us. That's all. That's what being prepared means. To be prepared to execute the order of the Lord. When I was a child growing up, there was all kinds of things that I learned about being prepared. Does anyone here happen to know what the Boy Scout motto is? Be prepared, right? That's the Boy Scout motto. Be prepared. And you know, it's interesting. The founder of the Boy Scouts was once asked, be prepared for what? He was once asked this question. His motto was, be prepared. So someone asked him, be prepared for what? And so, here's what he said. He said, why? For any old thing. That's right. He said, why? For any old thing. Be prepared for any old thing that comes along in life. Be prepared for life, to live happily without regret, knowing that you've done your best. That's what the scout motto means. Be prepared for life. Another one of my childhood heroes, Abraham Lincoln, he also said one time, I will prepare and someday my chance will come. I will prepare and someday my chance will come. Well, human form of life is that chance for all of us. And so our question should be whether we are prepared for death, not whether we're prepared for life. Life is meant to prepare for death. And as I was thinking about this, I recall the statement made by His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj the last time when I saw him. I couldn't remember the exact quote, but basically what he was saying was that life is meant to prepare for death, not that the opposite, which is... I can't get it. I wish I would have had time. See, that's what I told the Yudhika Kishore in my mind, at least I'm not prepared. If I was prepared, I would have had time to get that quote, but I don't have that quote. But it was a very nice quote that basically indicated that what life is about is preparing for death so that we'll no longer have to suffer the miseries in this material world. If we can lead our life in such a way to understand that, then we'll be prepared. We'll be prepared for anything and everything. So the question is, what do we need to do to become prepared? What is it that is in our best interest to do to become prepared? Fortunately, the acharyas have given us much instruction in this regard, and I wanted to get one bhajan put up on the board here. by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that we can all sing together that tells us how to become prepared for life and death. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the translation first so we can all understand it, and then I'm going to have Prabir Babu. I don't know how many of you know Prabir Babu. He's just recently come to our community here. A very wonderful devotee. I'm going to have him sing the bhajan and we can all follow along if we can get it up here. We're going to get it up here. Udilo Arana Urapapadi. Yeah. So let me read the translation so that we'll be aware of what we're singing and how this verse is meant to help us prepare ourselves. When the eastern horizon becomes tinged with the redness that heralds the rising of the sun, the jewel of the Brahmanas, Lord Gaurasundar, immediately awakened. Taking his devotees with him, he journeyed through the towns and villages of Nadia. The madangas resounded, tatai, tatai, and the kartals in the kirtan played in time. Lord Gauranga's golden form slightly trembled in ecstatic love of Godhead, and his footbells jingled. Lord Chaitanya called out to the townsfolk, "You spend your nights uselessly sleeping, and your days decorating your bodies. Now fill your mouths with the holy names, Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava, and Hari, chanting without offense. You have achieved this rare human body. Don't you care for this gift? If you do not worship the darling of Yashoda, darling of Mother Yashoda now, then great sorrow awaits you at the time of your death. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. Why then do you remain idle, not serve the Lord of the heart? You should understand this essential fact. Life is temporary and filled with various kinds of miseries. Therefore, carefully take shelter of the holy name and remain always engaged in his service as your eternal occupation. Desiring to bless all living entities, this sweet name of Krishna has descended to this material universe and shines like the sun in the sky of the heart, destroying the darkness of ignorance. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name of Krishna and thus satisfy the soul of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. There is nothing except the holy name within all the 14 worlds." So we'll sing this bhajan now. Maybe somebody can play the mridanga for him. You want to play? Everyone sing along as loudly as you can.
Udilayo runa purava bhage nijamani goraya mani jage
Bye.
So thank you, Flavia and Ramachandra on drum. Let's all give him a big. So that's all it takes to be prepared. Just chanting the holy name of the Lord. Better done in congregationally, together, like this. If you do so, then you'll be prepared for whatever life has to throw at you. And then, after this material energy stops throwing things at us, we'll be able to go back home, back to Godhead, and we'll be able to throw flowers at Krishna. Does anybody have any quick questions or anything on this subject matter before we proceed? Yes? Good. Better do your own duty than imperfectly than to do someone else's duty. Can we ever say no? Okay, well, that's a fair question. I think that probably we can. We may be faced with situations where we make mistakes, for instance. Satru Maharaj was the secretary of Srila Prabhupada at one point, and Prabhupada instructed him, send out this tape in an envelope to this other place. But leave it, he said, leave it unclosed or something like that, you know. And he mailed it, but he closed it. In other words, he didn't follow the instruction. He made some mistake. And the thing came back or something like that. And Prabhupada was very upset. And he was also all distraught. But the point is that Prabhupada said, well, now correct your mistake. You may make a mistake, but you need to be prepared to correct it. You just can't wallow and, oh, I made a mistake, and oh, woe is me. And no, but what are you going to do? Okay, you made a mistake. To err is human. So now what are you going to do? So I think that may approach the answer to your question. Sometimes we may say no, but if we say no, then there better be some, say to some service or something, then there better be some reason that we can still be prepared to be a surrendered soul and not develop the habit of just saying no and reacting no to any service opportunity that comes along. So I think like that. Maybe that approaches an answer to your question, hopefully. Anything else? Anyone? Yes? Yes, Bishop Mark.
We're going to bring Prabhupada to the temple now.
You're going to bring Prabhupada to the temple now?
Okay.
Yes. So who's carrying Prabhupada? You ready? Okay, so now we're going to go on procession over to the school. There's a fire jaggi there, very auspicious for beginning of the school year. Please go and give your blessings to all the students and the staff as they begin the school year over there. It's actually very, very important that the devotees do that. So. Hare Krishna.